As you hear what God is speaking today, and I just want to give you those four headings before we get into the message. And this is a parable that Jesus gives us, and it's a very familiar one in the book of Mark, chapter 4. We're going to be picking up in verse 1 or so. But I want you to write these down as we look at these things, because Jesus is talking about hearts. Everybody say hearts. And how many know hearts are very important? I mean, it gives you life, doesn't it? But it's that spiritual heart of yours that God is very concerned about, that heart that became born again on the inside of you. Amen. How many know Jesus says you must be born again, receive the kingdom of God? You must experience a whole new life on the inside of you. And this message this morning is really just to encourage us and to remind us and to how important it is to have the right kind of heart, because how many know our hearts can change from day to day? And how many know it's very important in how we hear things today? And Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, let him what?
Hear.
And how many know a lot of life experiences is hearing a lot of stuff? How many know that?
Amen.
Every day we are hearing things on the TV, the radio, the internet, hearing things from our neighbors, hearing things from our families, our children, people that we work with. We are bombarded with hearing things every day. And how many know that not everything we hear is good?
Amen.
And not everything that we receive into our heart is good. How many know that? Now, Pastor Jay has been teaching on managing life God's way. Now, how many have been enjoying that lengthy series? Amen. And I tell you, the last two Sundays have been really good about talking about the peace of God, talking about walking in that peace, talking about how to live with the God of peace in our life. Because a lot of things that are happening in my life personally, with family and different things, and our children, and our daughter going to Teen Mania, our daughter going to Hudson Valley, and right now we're in the process of looking for a home, and we're closing on the 15th on our house, and we still haven't found a house yet. How many know that's 11:59? But I've been enjoying this message is about peace and knowing that God is our provider no matter what. No matter how things look. And so we're going to look at this morning, this parable that Jesus gives. And he says, if you understand this parable, this teaching, you're going to understand everything.
Amen.
And how many know that when Jesus teaches, he doesn't want it to be a mystery to you?
Right.
He doesn't want you to sit there or stand there and scratch your head. What is he talking about? God, by the Holy Spirit, is New Testament Christians, is covenant-believing Christians. The Bible says the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, and he teaches us all things. He teaches us. How many are a student this morning? Amen. We're all students of God's disciples, what the Bible says, that we're people that are in a process of learning day in and day out. Say, I'm a learner. I'm a learner. So we're going to talk about four different types of grounds that Jesus talks about in the parable of the sower. And I want to give you those four right now, and then we'll go on to read the story. The first ground that Jesus talks about, the first heart in this parable of the sower, is the hard heart. Write that down in your notes if you can. The hard heart. Everybody say the hard heart. The hard heart. That's number one. The second heart that Jesus talks about, and we'll read this, is called the shallow heart. Write that down, the shallow heart. We have a hard heart. We have the shallow heart. Everybody say shallow. The third heart that Jesus talks about, and we'll see this in verses 18 and 19, it's called the crowded heart. So what do we have so far? We have the hard heart. What's the next one?
Shallow
heart. The third one? The crowded heart. And finally, the fourth one, as we see this, is the heart that's on, and you probably know this, is on good ground, a grounded heart. All right? Now let's just go to Mark chapter 4. So that fourth heart is the one on good ground. So you have the number one is what? Number two? Number three? And then a heart that's on good ground. Good ground. All right, let's look at this in Mark chapter 4. Now, Jesus is, you know, a lot of times when you read the Bible, you got to say, well, who's Jesus talking to? And as we read these chapters, he's talking to the multitudes, a lot of people are crowding around him, but he's also talking to his disciples. And as many times as we look at the Gospels, it's an opportunity for Jesus to teach something. And he goes into this parable of the sower. And it's really not just the parable of the sower, but it's also a parable of soils. What does it say, soils? So it's really a parable of the sower and of soils because he talks about those two different things. Let's look at the story. Let's look in chapter 4. Let's begin reading in verse 3. And it says this. It says, listen, as Jesus is speaking to the multitude, to his disciples, he says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air came and what? And some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded what? No crop or no fruit. And some fell among the thorns, and when the thorns grew up and choked it, it yielded no crop. Verse 8, it says, but other seed fell on the good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. How many like that part? Verse 9, it says, and he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him what? So how many know Jesus is saying, listen up? How many of you ever told your kids, hey, listen up? So I'm saying this morning, listen up. Listen to what Jesus is saying. How many know you can hear things? My wife says this all the time. You hear me, but you really don't. And then she knows that I don't because there's no fruit. And I have a personal challenge, you all know that. But I can't use that as an excuse either, can I? But you know, when she speaks and she says, well, you're not listening to me. I said, well, yes, I am. Well, what did I say? Well, you said, I don't know. How many can relate? So, you know, sometimes I got to put this hand over this ear so it doesn't go out the other side. But how easy it is to be passive, to be indifferent, and not really tune in to what somebody is saying. How many hate that when somebody's not listening to you when you're talking? Yeah. Oh, I just wish they listened. Because it makes you feel unimportant. It makes you feel undervalued. It makes you feel like you don't matter. And a lot of times it's ignorance. Sometimes it's just because we're busy. Sometimes we're mentally distracted. Sometimes we're just overburdened, overwhelmed, and we're not hearing. And how many know that in our relationship with God, it's about hearing his word?
Amen.
It's about listening for his voice in our life. It's about hearing what a preacher or a teacher or somebody we hear on the radio speaks to us and ministers to us. It's about getting it in here, getting it past what we're dealing with, allowing that word to drop into our hearts, and not just drop in our hearts, as James says, not be a forgetful man, but be a what? A doer of that word. Right? Not just hearing it, but hearing it, letting it fall down into your heart, into your spirit, but also producing some kind of action in your life. Now, how many know God is all about hearing, receiving, but he's also about putting feet to what you hear? But how many know it's a battle up here sometimes? How many know that's true? So Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, listen up. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, listen up.
Listen up.
All right, I didn't say loosen up, listen up. All right? So let's go on. In verse 9, and he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about this parable. So many times, the disciples would pull Jesus away and they would say, what did you say? What did you mean? We didn't understand it. How many know it's okay to ask God, God, I didn't understand what I read in the Bible this morning. I didn't understand what you're speaking to me. How many know it's okay to say, God, just explain it a little bit more to me. Give me another scripture. It's okay to do that with the Lord. How many know that?
Yes.
And so he pulls them aside, and he didn't rebuke them. He didn't belittle them. He says, listen, it's for you to know the mysteries in the kingdom of God. And he taught a lot of times in parables, and a parable is sometimes a comparison of one thing to the other. In Sunday school, we learn a parable is taking something that's earthly, natural, and giving us a spiritual truth or principle. A parable is like that. It's taking one thing and comparing it to another so we get some insight and understanding to what Jesus is saying. All right? And as we look at this, he goes on to explain it. Let's look at what he says. And then we'll expound some things on this this morning. Let's look at this. In verse 10, it says, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable, and he said to them, to you has been given to know the mysteries or the secrets or that which is hidden of the kingdom of God. But to those who are on the outside, all things come in what? Parables. Now, when Jesus would teach a parable, he would just give them a certain amount of truth, something that they could relate to, but hopefully it would put them on the edge of their seat. Hopefully it would put a heart within them that would want to say, I want more. It would put them in a position where they would take that next step and say, I kind of hear what you're saying, but I want to know more. How many are like that? You know, sometimes the Bible says, or we know it says, seek first the kingdom of God. Whose responsibility is that? It's not God behind you pushing you to seek him. Is it? I mean, if you could picture that. Okay, seek the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we need to kind of grab shoulders and arms and say, come on, let's do it. Let's seek the kingdom of God together. I know you're hurting. I know you're wounded. I know you're burdened. I know things in your life aren't easy. But come on, let's just shoulder to shoulder together. Let's seek the kingdom of God together. I want to know we're seeking the kingdom of God together as the body of Christ. Amen? Everybody. How many know we're here to encourage one another to seek God's kingdom? Amen. As Pastor Jay would say, are you doing all right? All right, let's go on. So Jesus says, listen, it's for you to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of God. God wants you to know. And the Holy Spirit lives in you to teach you, the Bible says in John's gospel, to teach you all things. But you know what? You've got to have that kind of heart that wants it. Because you know what? Your relationship with God is not automatic. It just doesn't, the process of osmosis, it just doesn't happen. You have to do something. Jesus has done everything through the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. He prays for you 24 hours. He says he is living to make intercession for you. Well, what's Jesus doing in heaven? Praying, interceding.
Amen.
Thank God he is.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God he is for you, for your family, for your children. And he works that intercession through you as you pray as well. And you join with him. You understand what I'm saying? So he wants you to know these things. Let's go on what he says. And we're going to look at these four different kinds of ground. What was the first ground? Second ground? Third ground? Fourth ground? Good ground. A heart that's grounded. Let's go on. Let's look at this. Verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? Verse 14. The sower sows the word. In Luke's gospel, chapter 8, it says the seed was the word of God. Everybody say the word of God. Now, these people knew about agriculture. They knew about farming. They knew about seed being planted. They knew about crops. They knew about harvest. So this parable was something that they could understand. But Jesus was teaching a spiritual truth. He's teaching a spiritual lesson about how you hear and what kind of soil your heart is. Now, a lot of people, when they teach this or they talk about this, it's about conversion. It's about a hard-hearted person, someone who's indifferent, who doesn't know Christ, to someone who becomes born again and has a good ground and receives that word and produces fruit in their life. And it's very true that it's taught that way. But it can also be taught that there are times in our life when we are hard-hearted. There are times in our life when our hearts are shallow as Christians. There are times in our life when our heart is crowded. And there's times in our life when our heart is just pumping with God and just receiving God and growing and maturing and producing fruit. But how many know life can bring a blow? Life can bring distractions. How many know there's a lot of distractions? Listen, we're all dealing with it, and we need to address it. Because I know what it's like to be consumed by life. You know what it's like to be consumed by life. You know what it's like, man, I just got to pray, I got to read, I got to, you know, share Christ, and a million things are going on in your life, good and bad. But Jesus says, keep hearing. Keep maintaining that good ground. All right, let's go on. The sower sows the word. Look at verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside when the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately. Everybody say immediately. And takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Did you hear that? How many know we have an enemy? You know, God is just not after you as a person. God's after the word of God that's in you. We see that in the beginning of Genesis. Satan came after the word that was sown in Adam and Eve's heart. You shall not eat. And he got them to doubt that word. Satan's there to steal God's word from your heart. Because he knows if he's got the word of God stolen from your heart, then you become ineffective. You become fruitless. You become a person who is not maturing. And he says that seed was sown on the wayside where it's trampled upon, where it's hard, where there's very little soil. And the birds just come down and they, bunk. They take that seed. They take that word. You know, that can happen. You know, when you get bitter, when you become hard because you felt like God has failed you, you become distraught because what you were praying for did not happen, and all of a sudden, your heart starts to become a little hard. And then there's an opportunity for Satan to come. Any word that's sown during that time of hardness in your life, it's just like that word is just hitting a wall and bouncing back. It's like hitting a wall and just bouncing back. And you don't receive that word in that time of hardness. You know, that's why Jeremiah says, break up the fallow ground. For it's time to seek the Lord. Break it up. God says, you do that. And how does that happen? It happens when you say, God, I've allowed my heart to become hardened towards you, towards your spirit, towards the word of God, towards my brothers and sisters in Christ. How many have known somebody that's been a Christian and their heart has become hard because of life? And what do? We don't judge them. We don't point fingers at them. We love them. Back to the goodness and the kindness of God. Somewhere, and I can know that in our life, we have experienced that hardness of heart. Wow, praise God, it's 20 up. Amen. Let's go on. So I want you to realize that there is an enemy. And Satan wants to steal the word of God from your life. So be aware of that. Let's go on. Verse 16, it says, and these likewise are the ones that are sown on stony ground, who when they take or hear the word, immediately receive it with what? Verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Say for a time. So here we have, it's soil on the ground, but underneath that thin layer of soil, it's very rocky. So that seed drops into that ground. And they receive it with gladness and with great joy. But when tribulation comes, everybody say tribulation. When persecution comes, hard time comes. Jesus says, in this world you will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. So that seed falls on that shallow what? Ground. You know how many, and they get excited. How many know Christians, they when they hear God's word and then they embrace Christianity, they get very excited about it. Wow, this is great. I never heard anything like this. And things will go along great. I mean, my job is great. My marriage is great. My kids are almost great. I love my boss now. I love my coworkers. Wow, the scenery outside looks awesome today. The flowers, they smell great. You don't think I'm weird, do you? Then all of a sudden, a trial comes, a tribulation, or somebody starts to persecute them. The Bible says because that seed fell onto shallow ground, it had no root. Luke says it has no moisture. Very interesting thing. It says they endured for a time and they fell away when a hard time came. How many know life can be hard? Like the commercial, life can come at you fast. Remember the father pushing his boy on the swing? You know, and the caption comes along, life comes to you fast. All the kid is no longer a kid, but he's a 200-pound teenager, and he knocks his father over. Life can come at you fast. How many have seen that? Okay, good. How many know that can happen? So Jesus is saying about hardness of heart, being shallow, not having your roots deep, not getting into that soil like you should. You know, the Bible says in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It goes on to say, be rooted and grounded in Christ. Be rooted and grounded in the love of God. I mean, no, Christians need to be rooted. Some say that Christianity is a mile wide but an inch deep sometimes because it's shallow. But see, God can use those hard times in your life to mature you. But what matures you is not the life or the hardness that you're going through. What matures you is the Word of God in your life. Because everybody goes through stuff, that doesn't make them a mature Christian. What makes them mature is applying and doing what God's Word says. That's what matures you. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Praise God. So a shallow heart. Say, I'm going to be rooted. I'm going to go deep. You know, God gives us spiritual principles to help us to be going from a shallow Christian to a person of depth. And when I say depth, I don't mean you're just some holier-than-thou way up here. Oh, nobody can touch them. You know, there's... No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about depth of love, depth of faith, depth of peace, depth of kindness in your life, a certain deepness and a sense of God in your life. Wow, that person, they really know God. And they're not arrogant. They're not puffed up because they have all this knowledge. But there's just a deepness that draws people to them. And not so they can be lifted up, but just so that they can share the character of Christ, so they can share the goodness of God, and they can be a strong influence in your life. How many want to hang out with people that love God? How many want to hang out with people that say, man, they got to walk with God. I want what they got.
Amen.
And they're not shallow. They go deep. Be rooted. Say, I'm going to be rooted. All right, let's go on. And everybody's going to tell Pastor Jay, I finished a quarter of, right? Thank you very much. All right, let's go on. Let's pick it up again in verse 17. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time, and after when tribulation or persecution comes, for the word's sake, immediately they what? Stumble, or they fall away. I'm tired of Christians falling away. My wife was saved during the charismatic renewal, and people that she knew in that charismatic renewal are no longer serving God today that she's aware of, because they've fallen away. How many know you have to guard your heart from falling away? And not allowing things to come into your life that's going to cause you to fall away. How many know Jesus has so much better for you? So immediately they stumble or they fall away. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. And they are ones who hear the word. Now this is so applicable to us as Christians today in our society. Verse 19, and the cares of this world, or the anxieties of this world, Amplify says, the deceitfulness of riches. How many know riches can be deceiving? Riches can say to you, you have need of nothing, you don't need God, you don't need church, you don't need Christianity, money is all you need. How many know riches can be deceiving? Riches can be deceiving. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and desire for other things, what? Enter in. Everybody say, enter in.
Enter in.
And what does it do? Pastor Jay talked about fear last week. He talked about the lack of peace and worry. How many worry was like being strangled? A similar word here, choke, is a compression that takes place because of the anxiety, because of the deceitfulness of riches. This is the enters in, the pleasures for other things, as it goes on to say. Choke the word of God. And I tell you, in my life, when I just allow things to consume me and compress me financially, relationally, how many know I'm human too? Job situations and trying to compress me and shape me and mold me in a certain way. And how many know you just get stuck in it? And all of a sudden, sometimes you don't realize you're in that mess. How many know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, it's like, man, you just feel like you're being choked and there's no way out. You feel that compression or that oppression in your life because of these things going on. And it's choking the Word of God. It's choking you from hearing it, receiving it, and acting on it, and experiencing what the Word of God will do for you in that situation. Y'all quiet. It says that word, that those cares, deceitfulnesses of riches, the lust, the Bible says the lusts are pleasures for other things. Now, how many know that's just American culture? Yeah. Why, you gotta be like the Joneses next door. If they got a pool, you gotta have a pool. If they got a Great Dane, you got to have a Great Dane. Maybe. I don't know. You know, if they got the new Cadillac, you got to get one. How many know that's American theology? That's their teaching. Keeping up with the Joneses. The rat race. How many know there's a rat race? I get a chuckle when I drive by and I see these big, you know, mobile homes that are on 8 wheels or 6 wheels for sale. Maybe it's a good thing. Now, I'm not saying if you have one, that's okay. I'm not saying you should. But you know what? It's all about priorities, isn't it? And I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to bless and have a big motorhome and go traveling. I'm not saying that at all. No, long as He is number uno one.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. It's not about stuff. It's about Him. But He will bless you. Yes. But it's so you can be a blessing. Yes. Not so you can hoard it on yourself. Right. Hello. And so be careful that the cares and anxieties of life that weigh you down can choke God's word in your life. And you say, why don't I feel God in my life? Why don't I sense His presence? How come I haven't been reading the word? How come all these different things? It's because there's this choking going on. But you know what? You can get out of that. You can take authority. Amen? If you can, like, take the devil's hands off your neck and say, no more. Understand what I'm saying? And then you just go for God. You start seeking God. Allow Him to restore the joy of your salvation. Renew a right spirit within you. Amen? I want you to know something. All these different grounds and soils, everyone heard the word. Did they not? Everyone heard it. But it's what they did with that word that made a difference in their life. Let's read the last one. And then we'll close. All right, verse 19, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. Everybody say unfruitful. John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus said that you may go and bear much fruit, that you would be, Christians need to be fruitful. Say, I'm going to be fruitful. Amen. Verse 20 says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. So in other words, they refuse to be hard. They refuse to be shallow. They refuse to be, come on, help me out,
crowded.
They choose to have a good receptive heart and spirit and mind. And something very explosive takes place. Let's go on. So these are the ones that are sown on good ground, those who hear the word. Everybody say hear.
Yeah.
And look what he says here. King James says here, receive or accepts it. A lot of people are hearing everything. But it's what they do with it. It counts. What counts? So they hear the word, they accept it. Well, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. It's not my theology. It's not my. I don't agree with that. Well, if it's in the Word of God, what choice do you have? Right? If you're a disciple, you're a learner, you say, okay, that's it. I believe it. It's so. I accept it. I receive it. So not only did they hear the word, the Bible says that they receive it. They accept it. They don't reject it. They accept it. What else did they do? It says when they hear the word, they accept it. And what? Bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. One seed produces 30. One seed produces 60. One seed, a ratio, produces 100. How many know that's explosive? Very explosive, very dramatic growth, very intense. But see, when you have a good ground in your life for Christ, it's explosive. How many know when you got saved, it's like, you know, you knew how much of a sinner you were, how carnal you were, how fleshly you were. But when you got born again and somebody saw you, it's like, it must be his twin because that's not the guy I know. Right? I mean, there's a dramatic change that takes place in their life. It's that 30, it's that 60, that's 100-fold. Amen. See, that's God's multiplication. Amen. That's God's program. That's God's increase in our life. That when we sow God's word on good ground in our heart and we refuse to be hard and shallow, we refuse our hearts to be what? Crowded with the things of life. And that good ground, it produces tremendous fruit. Produces tremendous, what? Fruitfulness in our life. Hey, man, can we have the music team come? How many know God's program is the best program? Is it not? God can do things in your life that you've never thought of. God says, I will show you great and mighty things. When you trust in Him and you look to Him and you say, God, I'm going for you. 100%. There's times in my life I've been hard. There's times in my life I've been shallow. There's times in my life I've allowed stuff to crowd God out of my life. But see, Jesus says, take responsibility. You're in love with God as much as you want to be. You serve God as much as you want to serve Him. You're hungry for God as much as you want to be hungry. Yes. But if you choose to, you know, people will come to church and they'll hear a preacher preach and they're like, you know, and their hearts are hard. It doesn't, the word does not penetrate. And it takes a lot of prayer for a person like that. Bring them to a place where their heart is soft and supple in the hand of God. It's not that God won't, but it takes a time. It takes a process. But you say, God, I'm not going to be hard-hearted anymore. I'm not going to be shallow. You know, God doesn't, when you talk about shallowness, it's talking about baby Christians. And there's times in our life when we're baby Christians, and God doesn't condemn that. We all are baby Christians at one time. And that just means, not a bad thing, it just means you're just starting out. You're just walking that walk with Christ. It's just a new beginning. It's a new life. It's like being a baby all over again, and you're learning these things. But you know what? You can't stay a baby forever. Can you? God put it in you, your DNA, to go from birth to toddler to however all those stages are, right? Until you're a teenager, on your own, doing your stuff, doing what God wants you to do. God put that in you to, as a process to grow. And how many know that's spiritually true too? Ask yourself the question, God, am I growing spiritually or I'm choosing to let everybody pray for me. Let everybody serve me. Let everybody do all my spiritual stuff. Or I'm going to make the choice and say, God, I'm going to go deep. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read more. I'm going to be involved in church more. I'm going to do the things that's going to cause a depth in my life. You know, I went on a retreat years and years ago just to seek God because everything was a mess. How many know it's a good time to go seek God? Amen. And I got this little... it wasn't like a cabin, but, you know, just a place out in Greenville area. And I met this man who's probably in his 70s, a wonderful black man who loved God. And just meeting him for lunch or breakfast at that time when we would go to that same place to eat food, you know, we just start to talk. But you could see the depth and the love of God in his heart. And you know what? He wasn't like this. La, 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 la. You know, sometimes babies do that. Always talking. But you know, he would just talk, but then he would listen. Then he would just share, and then he'd just be quiet. You know, I got so much from my relationship with him that weekend in seeking God. Because there was such a depth in his life, his love for Christ. You know what? You need people like that in your life.
Amen.
People that love God, have a depth, a walk with God. And it was a wonderful time just being away and seeking the Lord and allowing God to speak to me and bring me from a hard heart, a shallow heart, a heart that was being what? Crowded with life, to a heart that was just good ground to receive what God had. Let's close our eyes. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for this journey that we're on, this walk of life. I pray for everyone here this morning, God, while our eyes are closed, our head are bowed. And Father, that we would be bold enough to address the ground in our heart today. Father, have we become hard? Have we become shallow? Have we become crowded by the things of life? And we're being choked spiritually. But Father, you desire a heart that's good ground. You desire a heart that's receptive. You desire a heart that beats with your heart. Father, you desire a heart that's going to receive your word on good soil. Lord, that you can bring forth much fruit, explosive fruit, dynamic fruit, fruit that only God would get the glory for, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, to experience such a change in our life. And the Bible calls it a transformation. So if you're here this morning and you've allowed your heart to become hard, say, God, forgive me. Lord, I repent. Lord, I come to church, but it's just a process. I'm just doing it because I think it's the right thing to do, but God, I'm dead on the inside. I'm just going through the motions. If you're here this morning and you just become shallow, and you've let your time with God just slip aside. You're not praying. You're not reading like you should. It's just not a desire to share Christ. And God understands that. He doesn't condemn you. And I want you to know that this morning. He's not there to condemn you when you're shallow. He's just calling you to come and drink. He's just calling you to come and receive more. He's just calling you to be at my feet. He's just calling you to come up a little higher, to take the next step, not be shallow. God says, he calls unto the deep. He's calling unto you to experience that depth of his love, experience that depth of his goodness. There may be some here this morning, and it's a lot of us, I'm sure, that we've allowed the cares of this world, the anxieties of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasure and desire for other things to choke the word of God in our life. And we become unproductive. We become unfruitful. We become stagnant. And we're not where God wants us to be. And God says, I didn't do these things. You've allowed these things to take place in your life. I've allowed these things at times to take place in my life. God says, if you're going to be fruitful, if you're going to produce, you got to give up those anxieties, those cares. You got to give up that deceitfulness of riches, the desire and lust for other things, the pleasures of this world. And you need to let it go. We need to let it go. We need to repent and say, God, forgive me. I've allowed these things to choke the word of God in my life. And we can experience all these three different types of grounds at different times in our life. But let's seek that good ground, that fertile ground, that ground that's full of moisture, ready to receive the Word of God. Whoever preaches, whoever teaches, listening on the radio, reading a book, reading the Word of God, and receiving that Word on good ground. And all it takes is just saying, God, forgive me of those other things. And let me receive that Word. You know what? Transformation takes place. You won't be the same. Father, thank you for that. Thank you for transformation. Thank you, Father, for that multiplication, that fruitfulness in our life that's such a glorious thing in the body of Christ and how it touches lives around us. We're not hard. We're not shallow. We're not crowded by the things of life, and we have no idea what's going in the body of Christ around us. But when we have a good ground and we receive the Word, you know what? We're in touch with those around us. We're praying. We're seeking God. We're loving people. We're loving God. We're reaching out. We're reaching out to the lost because of a good ground. A good ground. Hallelujah. Let's do that. You are the one. Let's stand. You are the one. You are holy. You are the one. You are worthy. Sing it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You are the one everlasting. You are the one I will worship.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everlasting. Yes, you are the one.
Jesus, you're the one.
Jesus, you're the one.
Thank you, Lord. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if you're here this morning, and you said, yes, I've allowed my heart to be hard. No one looking around, every eye closed. Just I want to pray for you this morning. Raise your hand if you allowed your heart to become hard. Anybody? Yes, if you allowed your heart to become shallow. Just lift up your hand right now. Yes, amen. If you allowed your heart to be crowded with the things of life, anxiety, raise your hand. Amen. God sees those hands. He sees your heart this morning. And how many in this place want to have a good ground? A heart that's fertile and ready to receive the Word of God in your life. All of us should raise our hands because that's the kind of ground we want. That's the kind of ground we want where God is just living and breathing on the inside of us, pouring into us day in and day out, giving us everything that we need for our life, for our families, our homes. What a glorious thing. Father, we thank you for those hands that were raised. And Father, I thank you that through repentance comes the refreshing of the Lord. Times of refreshing come when we repent and we realize the seriousness of our ways and we acknowledge before God we've missed the mark. We acknowledge before God I've gotten off the path. Repentance is a beautiful thing. The Bible says when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So all we have to do is repent. That God, forgive me. Cleanse me with your blood. Restore me. Renew a right heart in me. Restore the joy of my salvation. And you know what? Then you take that next step. You go on with God. You do what He's called you to do. And you say, God, I'm going to spend that time with you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek you. And you know what? The grace of God is going to be there to help you. It's not human will and effort, but it's the grace of God operating through your life, strengthening you to do what He's called you to do. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I pray you give us ears to hear, Father. Give us ears to hear. And Father, all the voices that are taking place in the world and just crowding our minds and our heart, Paul said there's many voices beckoning for our attention. But Father, let us hear your voice in these days. Let us hear the voice of God on the inside of us through the scriptures. The voice of God that is going to be so clear to us, leading us and guiding us and directing us. That God wants you to hear, to hear, to hear. How many know faith comes by hearing? Comes by hearing. Comes by hearing. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you don't have an intimate relationship with Him, the Bible said that all have fallen short of the glory of God, all have sinned. And I'm pretty sure everyone here is probably born again and knows Christ, has a personal relationship with Him. Amen. But if you're here and you don't. I don't know God. I know about God, but I don't know God. I know about Christianity, but I haven't experienced Christianity, the love of Christ on the inside of me. And if I died, I don't know where I would go. I would hope I'd go to heaven. But you know what? You can be sure this morning. You know what it can mean to be born again, to have forgiveness of sin, and through that new birth, to know what it means to be water baptized, what it means to identify with Christ's death, burial, and His resurrection, to know what it means to have a fruitful life and to walk with Christ and to read the Bible and to go to church and do all the things that the Bible commands us to do. You can have that kind of life, a life that's full of God. And yeah, there'll be trials and tribulations, but it won't be you alone. It'll be God in you, walking through those times in your life. You won't be without God, but you will be with God. And if you're here this morning and say, yes, I want that kind of relationship. I want to know Christ in a personal way. I want to experience what life everlasting really is. If that's you this morning, and God is speaking to you, speaking to your heart, and He's saying to you, you need me, you need this in your life, just lift up your hand wherever you are. Anybody? Praise God. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It truly is. It truly is. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise His name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray this morning as we close this service. Father, thank you for this parable. God, help us, Lord, not to have a shallow heart. God, help us not to have a hard heart. God, help us not to have a heart. Lord, God, Father, it's just overwhelmed with the cares of this life. It's crowded. But Lord, help us to have that heart that's a good ground. And it stays a good ground. Pursues that good ground. Pursues that kind of heart, Jesus. Father, we hear today what you're saying. We accept it. We receive it, Lord. And thank you for the fruit that's going to be produced in our life, Jesus. Glorious, awesome fruit. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just close in that chorus one more time. You are the one. You are holy. Yeah, Jesus. You are worthy. Yes. You are the one. The one everlasting. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's lift our hands one more time. Jesus, you're the one. Jesus, you're the one. Hallelujah. Yes, you are the one. Praise God. We thank you for the service today, Father. Again, Lord, we pray for Jay and Pam and Jake and Megan. And Lord, just thank you for upholding them with the right hand of your righteousness, Lord. Father, just thank you for a speedy recovery for Jake, oh God, and Lord, that he'll be home maybe today or tomorrow, God. And Lord, just thank you, Father, Lord, for your miraculous provision for them, your grace to carry them. And Lord, thank you for just loving them and strengthening them. Father, we just surround them with our love and our faith today, Father. And Lord, we thank you for this week ahead, Lord, and the many things that are taking place, the Wild Jam, Lord, the picnic next Sunday, Father. Lord, this month of July, Lord, this new series happening on Thursday, Father, the bait of Satan. Father, we just thank you, God, Lord, that you're just doing some awesome and great things in our lives and providing for us, oh God, ways that we can grow and mature in Christ. Lord, I thank you for our brothers and sisters here today, Lord, and we thank you for the love of God for one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer this morning, Brother Mario and myself will pray for you. Just come forward. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Can we have some music, please?
Congratulations again to Paul and Carol Ebert. Can you say congratulations again to Paul and Carol Ebert?
Yes, Paul and Carol, congratulations. God bless you.
Good morning.
Hey, Carol.
Hi. I'm really struggling with all the things that are going on in my life.